Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Oh, yeah, it's on, and it's a little different today. We've decided to do the show with actual participants of the Mark Reardon Show, something just unique. We haven't done that in a while, although Sue's been here, and Ethan has been here. Fred and I have not been here, although I did hear a rumor. This was interesting. Sue, how are you?
I am fine, thank you.
We got so much to cover. We have terrorist attacks in New Orleans and, unfortunately, Las Vegas. A lot of bad things happening around the planet, including here in St. Louis with some crime downtown and a shooting early yesterday morning. We're going to get to all of that, but the crew has not been together very much, so I wanted to do a little time catching up. However, let me just get one thing on the record first. So Monday morning, Fred, you checked in with me. I'm at home.
Right.
And you said, hey, what do you want to do today on the show? And I'm like,
nothing.
I'm off until Thursday. You do whatever you want. I don't care. So then you really never followed up on that. And what I couldn't tell is if you thought that
you were dead to me then.
Yeah, okay. Okay, there. But did you really think that I was in on Monday?
Yeah, I did.
But here's the other question, okay? I want the true answer. Were you supposed to be here on Monday?
No.
That's what I heard.
I made a mistake, and I came in and worked anyway.
I have never done that in my life. Sue, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone into work when you're not scheduled to work?
I have not.
No, I have not either.
I just love my job that much.
But I was so proud of him, because then on Tuesday, you just had like one message to me, and you said, I'm staying home. I'm like, I'm so proud of you, Fred.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. You go, Fred.
Thanks. So how was your Christmas, Sue?
It was great. I can't even remember. It just seems so long ago. And then it's New Year's and people are firing off loud things in the night. And then it's today. But it was great. And I really have enjoyed having every Wednesday off for the last 2 weeks.
Let's just keep that
rolling. You know, that's a thing.
Why don't we? But it is one of those situations, you know, to your point, where I think we've all kind of said in the last 5 days in particular, hey, what day is it? You know, like even Alexa yesterday, what day is it? It's okay. Yesterday was, because today seems like a Saturday. Half the days in the last 10 days to me have felt like a Saturday, even though it's a Thursday and we're trying to get back on track. And Fred, by the way, that means we're going to have a roundtable tomorrow. I mentioned the shooting downtown. There's video that goes along with that. It's very interesting. Jane's going to weigh in on that. We have a ruling from the appeals court on the new prosecutor for St. Louis County. They have sided with the governor, not Sam Page. So there's some good news there and a lot of other things that are happening.
That is
so
good news.
We'll get back on track. We got a lot of folks coming up here. Phil Holloway is going to get us all caught up on some of the terror attacks. Jane in the next hour. Dave Murray, that's another story. So we got snow heading our way, which seemingly might be significant, although I'm always nervous about this. We always get whacked when they're saying, oh, it's going to be 2 to 3 inches on Sunday. And then it's, you know, 12 to 15. They're already saying 5 to 8, maybe.
That's what I'm hearing. 5 to 8.
Yeah.
So
I like
we'll
that.
See.
I like that range personally.
Which, normally 5 to 8 means 2 to 3. But if they say 15 to 20, then you could get 7 to 8 or nothing.
Yeah. Well,
so,
there's truth to that.
You know
as
what
well.
I mean?
But let me take you through the last week and a half for some things, because I started keeping a running tally of some things that were happening around me or things that I noticed, you know, in the news or pop culture. And I wanted to kind of go through those as we started the show here this afternoon. The first thing, and this is actually a true story. So I worked until Christmas Eve. Sue, you and I were both here.
Mm-hmm.
And on Christmas morning, now I will say this. Do you guys remember your dreams?
Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Fred, do you remember yours?
Yeah, I can.
So Becky, my wife, vividly remembers her dreams all the time. And by the way, she's also someone that can doze off for like 3 seconds and have an entire dream.
What?
I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
She'll come on. She'll like, oh, I just had this dream. I'm like, wait, what? You were not even out for 30 seconds. How did that happen? So I don't remember my dreams, except on Christmas morning this year, because this is a true story. I had an extremely vivid dream that our boss, Steve Moore, fired my ass. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we're being honest, it's probably not too far from the truth, okay? But I mean, that's how I started Christmas morning.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I texted him. I blame him for it because, oh my gosh, it was weird.
That is so stressful.
It was very stressful. But here's the other thing. There was a Christmas miracle. My daughter was with her brother. The other brother from, Houston wasn't here, but the brother from Chicago, and they're playing video games to all hours of the morning. And she made this commitment to him on Christmas Eve to let Aiden and Dakota, his girlfriend, sleep until 8:30 on Christmas morning. And I thought, there's no way that that's going to happen. Well, lo and behold, she woke up at 8 o'clock because she was up late, and she let them sleep, and she wanted to prove me wrong, I think.
That's probably why, but good for her.
Yeah, so we got going on Christmas morning, and everybody got their presents, and we had a good time. I made my French toast. That's a little bit of a tradition. Then we go through the day here with football. Now, football might not have been as important to you, although maybe it was because the Steelers were playing, right?
It was terrible. Just terrible.
Well, I thought it was pretty good. But let me kind of get away from the teams, and I just want to assess the Netflix aspect of this because I thought Netflix really kicked butt that day.
Yeah,
they did a great job.
They really stepped up.
When you first had Amazon do the streaming of Thursday Night Football, it was awkward. And, they had to get their footing, if you will, and they finally got it, although I don't think Al and Herbstreit are the best pairing. I think that they should go in a different direction here. But I was really impressed with Netflix. It streamed well. I didn't have any glitches or anything like that. I'd also like to personally thank the big guy for allowing football on his son's birthday. I really was happy with that. And then did you guys watch football that day, or Fred, did you watch football?
No, I didn't on Christmas Day.
Mm-mm. Sue, did you watch it?
Nope, I had to go back and watch little pieces in video.
So one of the things that, and I got to see if there's so much audio in here. If Ethan, if you are listening right now, I wanted to find this. Here it is. So there's this commercial, and I had to rewind on that day. I found it, dude. That's right. So I'm watching the football game, and they're, commercials, and I see one that's rather unique, and it sounded like this.
So he's driving and driving. The guy made a left, right, left, into the river.
So this is one of the characters from The Sopranos sitting around with a bunch of friends, and a guy comes in, and he's noticing there's Fresh Pet, that wet dog food in the fridge.
Yeah, I got that thing.
Good. Throw it in the fridge.
Over here?
No, over here. Yeah, over there.
Okay.
We need a roadmap.
Oh, what's this? You keep dog food in the fridge?
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's not dog food. That's Fresh Pet. Real meat, real veggies from my boy Junior.
No disrespect, but what are we doing here?
Uh-oh. And then the next thing you see is them outside of a trunk in a car, essentially alluding to the fact that they offed the guy for making fun of Fresh Pet, which I thought was brilliant and such a great holiday-themed ad as well on Christmas Day.
That's hilarious.
But it was funny, and because when I first saw it for the first time, and maybe this had been running, before the Netflix football. I don't know. I really don't. But I rewind. I'm like, wait, did they just do what I think they did? So I was really impressed with that. I thought that was fantastic. One of the other things that happened over the past 10 days is I made dozens and dozens of cookies. And Sue Thomas remains unimpressed. She still thinks that this is a passing fancy. I slaved and slaved in a hot kitchen. I don't know what else I have to do to prove myself, but I brought in three different varieties of cookies today.
We'll talk in April.
Regular chocolate chips. I have white chunk macadamia nuts. And then I have these like little blondie things that Alexa and I
made. Hey, they look good.
They
look really good. Fred's going to be happy. Fred, are you happy?
Please keep it up.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go for that. So I did do a lot of baking. A little challenge on the oatmeal front right now. I still haven't nailed the oatmeal cookie. I don't know what's going on with that. We were going to try to make Italian butter cookies yesterday, and that didn't happen. But here's the thing, the other thing that I've realized, and Jane and I maybe can talk this out tomorrow after the roundtable because she's like a cake decorator. But I think I've gone perhaps as far as I can with cookies from this perspective. I've realized, now you have to understand, Sue, that I've never baked in my life. I really haven't.
Okay, that's true. That's okay. 0 to 60.
So I was doing the little chocolate chips, the take and bake or whatever, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy myself a piece of infrastructure with this KitchenAid mixer. Essentially, every cookie recipe is the same, right? It's butter, sugar, maybe brown sugar, maybe oats, and then chocolate. I mean, there's not a whole lot of variety there, right?
Mm. Well, that's if you branch out, there can be. You can do a rolled cookie.
Oh.
Right? And you can cut them off. Remember those that I made, Fred, with the chocolate chunk cookies you roll out? That, and you refrigerate overnight.
Right.
There's some places for you to go.
Well, here's where we are. It's the second day of 2025, right? It's a new year, and my New Year's resolution goal is to tackle cakes or perhaps torts. I don't even know what a tort is. I just want to say torts because I think it sounds good, but that might be something else that I take on this year.
Have at it. It's difficult not to make a dry cake from scratch.
I painted a room over the break, Sue. I painted the bathroom.
I thought it looked good, by the way. I saw a picture of it.
Can I tell you what happened there? So this is another trend in our house. I don't know if it happens with other people, but we had a toilet paper roll that had to be repaired, right? So Phil Handyman came over, did that because I can't do this stuff. And then I had to repaint.
Wait a minute. Toilet paper hole.
Like a holder that's on the wall. Sure. You know, so it's on the wall.
What happened to it?
You're sitting on the toilet and you got the little toilet paper roll there.
What did it get?
It broke. It broke off the wall. So Phil came over, he fixed that thing, but that was maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And ever since then, I repainted just right around it, like with some, primer, if you will. But I needed to repaint to match the room. Realized that I didn't have that paint, so I tried to repaint that. Then I had to do the whole room. That's why I did the whole room. Man. I didn't have the matching paint. But it did turn out pretty well, you would admit, right? I think it looked pretty good. I do have some other stories that I will share that aren't as positive, and here's one of them. We were supposed to go to Chicago. I told Fred this over the weekend. My father got really, really sick.
Oh.
We talked to him on Christmas Day, and my dad's always had upper respiratory bronchitis types things as long as I remember. So on Christmas Day, I spoke with him and, pretty congested and everything. And then on Friday morning, we were supposed to leave Saturday to go up there. On Friday morning, I think if you've been to the ER, you can relate with this, maybe even if you haven't. If you go to the ER and you're not basically seconds away from dying, you ain't getting seen. Okay, you're going to be there for 4 or 5 hours. And my father had experienced this, so he desperately needed to be seen by a physician, but he didn't want to go because he didn't want to get stuck in the ER. So he calls the ambulance finally, like the life alert thing. They come on Friday morning. They do all these tests and stuff. And the doctor, and I guess he likes this doctor, it's one of his doctors, says, I can't admit you. And my sister and, my mom and dad are like, wait, what? So he goes back to the retirement.
Did he say why?
I guess there wasn't you got to check the boxes to make sure that I don't know. But then he called the ambulance again on Friday night and was there essentially till Tuesday afternoon.
But he's doing
much better. We spoke with him yesterday, but we didn't get a chance to go up and visit. So that was unfortunate. But there were a lot of little things that were happening as well. The type of things, Sue, that I would talk about on the air the next day, but they didn't really, afford themselves to that. So on Saturday night, because we weren't in Chicago, we made some plans to go out to dinner with some friends on the Hill. I will not name the restaurant. Wouldn't be fair because I can't prove this. But we go out. We have a great meal. Alexa's with us. We get back home. I'm in the basement. Becky's upstairs. She might have even been doing some baking at that point. And then she texts me from upstairs. So I'm in the bathroom. So it must have been food poisoning. Like it hit her, but this was really bad. I mean, she was scared the crap out of Alexa and I because she was cramping. She was shaking. She was very cold violently. I have a physician who lives next door, and there's nothing more that a doctor wants, especially like on, a holiday weekend, to be called into service for no compensation. And that's what I did to my neighbor, Jason. I did pay him in cookies, though. And I said, and I'm gonna stand by this, I think that that's better compensation that you're going to get from Medicaid these days. Physicians in the audience will realize that. But we were so scared, and we didn't know for certain that it was food poisoning. We kind of guessed that she did have shrimp in the dish that she ate at the restaurant. And none of us had that, which is weird because typically I would share something from her plate, but I was sitting sort of on the opposite end of the table, catty corner, if you will, and it was just violently, violently ill. Scared Alexa. Took about 3 hours for things to settle down, but just even the next day,
I'm so sorry to hear that.
And I called the restaurant, and they were apologetic. I don't know what you can do in that particular situation, but it was really, really bad. And then, just stupid things like that same night we got back home, Sue, the garage door would only open halfway or quarter way, right? So
now that'll drive you nuts.
Yeah, so Becky gets sick. I'm like, I'm going to deal with that tomorrow. So I go out there and I start lubing that bad boy up quite a bit, and it didn't work. And then one other thing I have to share here, because I mentioned football on last Wednesday on Christmas Day. But Sue, thank you for asking me about fantasy football, because on Sunday, I was in the championship for fantasy football in my league. And that was my focus. That was my focus on Sunday, and I really wanted it. But I had this garage thing going on and stuff like that, right? I won my fantasy football championship.
Well, how about that?
It didn't look good early in the day. Saquon Barkley, Jaden Daniels not having the best performance early, but then Jaden just killed it for me. I rode him the entire year. But see, then what happened? And this was a good pot, okay? This was a $250 buy-in for this league. So on, what was it? Monday morning. So I know I won the championship. Monday morning, Jeff from Overhead Door comes over and he just rips my heart away because he takes
$250.
More than that.
Oh,
more than that.
Away. Of course.
No, I love Jeff, by the way. He was great. And he goes, this is what I love about the repairman. Like, he's like, well, and this was an odd number for me, but it was the number. He goes, it's four. You got a spring broke. That's what he said.
I kind of figured. I just had that this year. It's no good.
Yeah. It's the only thing that's ever happened with a garage door. I've had them break over there. It's always a spring, right? And you can't fix that. So he goes, it's $402 for one or $502 for two.
You got to do both.
Well, yeah. Who's the idiot that does 402 and then has the other?
Somebody,
that probably would be me, by the way, just so you know. But then you have the other spring break in a couple of weeks.
I know, but if you are really money crunched, especially around the holidays, I could see somebody saying no. But you got to do it if you can.
Oh, he sucked out 40% of those winnings. It was defeating, to say the least. But we survived. We get into New Year's Eve. I know. No,
I'm doing the math.
Yes.
For people, it was $1,200 pot.
Wow.
Fred, it was a $1,200 pot. And here's what I would say for people who play fantasy football, and Sue's super into it, and I know that we bore people because she wants to talk about it so much.
Yeah.
But I've done this for maybe 20 years, all right? To the point where I was in this league in Columbia, they used to do a live draft. Yeah, I don't need to explain it if you don't know what that means. It would take 6 hours. But I've finished in second in these things. I've finished in third and fourth and fifth and last. And I finally win one. Won one.
Did you do your picks or did Becky do your picks?
No, it is a fair question. In fact, Adam Wainwright once made fun of me for allowing my wife to manage my fantasy team. I will remember that. But no, I managed the whole team. She'll even admit she didn't do a whole lot with this. And I brought this to the championship, Fred. So there you go. I'll never mention it again, but I had to at least point out that I won my fantasy football championship. We're going to visit with Phil Holloway next. We'll get all caught up on what happened in New Orleans and in Vegas. The Sugar Bowl going on right now, actually. I can't believe that it is almost Friday, which is good news. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We'll have plenty to talk about with Jane Duker, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and current State Senator Nick Schorr all on the panel tomorrow. Paul Hall with some entertainment. The other thing I did over the break, Sue, is I watched a lot of movies.
Oh.
And I watched some good movies, too, that I will share with you probably tomorrow afternoon. Cusimano on sports, and we'll have Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. I also want to mention, before we get into some of the stuff about the terrorist attacks, that we lost an Odyssey employee down in New Orleans.
A 25-year-old
young man by the name of Billy DeMeo, who was an account executive, and he was down there at the French Quarter when all this nonsense happened. And let's kind of segue into that conversation with our friend Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst. Happy New Year, Phil. Not very happy, though, for a lot of families around this country. And by the way, I don't even know, like yesterday morning, I wasn't even dialed into the news. I had to find out from ESPN that this had happened when they started talking about the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's certainly not the kind of thing that you want to wake up to on the very first hours of what's, at least set to be a potentially particularly good year here in 2025. It's just really, really heartbreaking. And, it's been all politics for so long, and now we're back to terrorism on American soil. It's just absolutely disheartening.
So one of the things that I haven't talked about yet, because I went off in a different direction, just catching up with the listeners during the monologue, but you got with the two situations, they say that there's no definitive connection in New Orleans and Las Vegas, but both found with, the Cybertruck bomber was found with a gunshot wound to his head, rented from Turo, just like in New Orleans, the same day as the New Orleans attack. This guy was a Green Beret military bomb expert, I think maybe a drone expert, and he used amateur explosives. So that doesn't make any sense. Some people are out there saying, look, this Tesla Cybertruck could have driven itself to the Trump Hotel. Maybe the guy shot himself before he even got there, or somebody else shot him. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's a lot of theories out there, Phil.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, really, to if you're seeking a conspiracy theory, there's plenty of angles to look at this. If we're gonna just pretend that we're conspiracy theorists here for just a minute, one could say with respect to the Las Vegas incident that, you know, maybe somebody is sending a message to maybe the incoming administration, say, look, we can take out your best warfighters, and we can do it at your hotel with your friend's self-driving truck, you know? So, I mean, there's lots of different ways that you could spend this, but I think back to reality, we've got to sort of just let the investigators do their work. They need to objectively follow the evidence to whatever the truth is. And look, maybe there, it turns out there will be a connection. I don't know. Right now they're saying that there's not, but you know, right now unfortunately, we live in a time where the trust in our institutions of government, particularly the federal law enforcement side, is just not that high, and so people are skeptical, and the conspiracy theories are going to fly.
When I've already seen a lot of that, just in reaction to some of the things that were said in New Orleans, in particular by this FBI official down there, and some of the other police, you know, representatives, because there's been a perception, Phil, that they haven't had their you know what, their collective you know what together, and maybe that contributed to some of the problems here.
Yeah, it looks like the Keystone Cops kind of right out of the gate when the FBI public, I guess she was the special agent in charge or the number two in charge there. She comes out and she says, you know, it's not terrorism. And you know that when she made that statement, they had already seen the ISIS flag. So why not just say it? You know, and it completely takes away from their credibility. And when you're out and you're trying to be sort of the public face of something as high profile as this, you've got to maintain your credibility with the public. You know, if you don't have that, then they're not going to trust you. And that's going to feed into the conspiracy theories. And, you know, the other thing about it with the FBI, they seem pretty certain. Once they weren't certain, then they were like, okay, there's got to be other people involved. We're looking at two or three or four other people. And then 24 hours later, they're like, oh, never mind. It was just a lone wolf.
Yeah, so then you got both of these guys are now identified. Shamsuddin Jabbar, 42. He was the NOLA guy. He was an American citizen, also in the military. Matthew Livelsberg, I'm not sure exactly, Livelsberg on the, or Berger maybe on the Vegas side. He was a special forces soldier overseeing drones, maybe a bomb expert. So one of the questions I think that's come up in the last couple of days, Phil, and I don't think we're going to get an early answer to this, is how in the hell are these guys being radicalized, right? Especially if they're both in the military.
Well, you know, there's radical elements of this in all aspects of society. You find it oftentimes where you least expect it. You certainly don't expect it in the military, but I think this is a very ugly reminder that it is there. And this speaks to larger, perhaps more institutional problems in the United States military. There's a lot of things that need to change, and you could say that this is something perhaps that's been brewing for quite some time, and it's not limited to the radicalization of these people, because the military is just lost its focus. You know, it needs to be about war fighting and putting ordnance on target when needed, and instead it's become this, I don't know, like a it's a social experiment now that's being run almost directly out of the White House. And so there's a lot of dysfunction. This is obviously a very serious and very dangerous aspect of the dysfunction. And hopefully the new administration can make some changes.
But let's make sure that people are aware, Phil, what the real threat in this country is. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas made it very clear a couple years ago.
What we in the Department of Homeland Security have assessed is that the greatest terrorism-related threat that we face in the homeland is the threat of domestic violent extremism.
Yeah, wait for it.
Individuals drawn to violence because of ideologies of hate or false narratives propagated on social media and other online platforms. And the most prominent threat is the threat of white supremacists.
Yeah, you kind of had to wait for the end there. I think most of what he said there, he might have gotten right, right? There's people that are being radicalized, but they wanted to prioritize in this administration. They did it several times. When that soundbite came out, I remember mocking it at the time, Phil. You probably did too, because it was so ludicrous.
You know what? I had actually forgotten about that, maybe purposely buried it in the back of my brain somewhere. But I'm glad you remembered it and shared it, because it does show that this current administration has been basically lost in the wilderness when it comes to, you know, protecting Americans from violence. And there's been such a focus on social issues and not a focus on things that matter to keeping the American people safe on a daily basis. And it's high time that some changes be made in the Department of Homeland Security and others that, I guess, point the tip of the spear, so to speak, where it needs to be pointed, and that is at the criminal element. And by the way, that also includes closing the border. Additionally, there were some reports that turned out to be inaccurate, that maybe this guy in New Orleans had come across the border in the last couple of days. In the fog of the sort of the breaking news, you know, a lot of things get I have to get retracted and restated.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that ISIS and other radical elements have come across the southern border. And even if this guy didn't come across the southern border illegally, we know that radical terrorists have come across the border, and we know they are here. And if they are here, the question is why? Well, the answer to that is obvious. They are here because they want to harm us. So we have got to close the border, regardless of whether or not this particular set of instances had anything to do with the border. But we've got to get to that. That's got to be a main priority. And hopefully here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to start seeing the border closed.
You know, one of the things I thought about yesterday and today was, and I know that Biden made some statements today, but there was never a moment when I heard about both of these incidents that I thought, you know what, I want to hear what this president has to say, because we're going to feel a lot more confident about where we are when it comes to combating terrorism and, you know, the fight against our way of life when Joe Biden weighs in here. He's become so irrelevant. I wish they could move Inauguration Day up by about 18 days, Phil.
Well, and he's talking about, well, I'm going to assemble my national security team and we're going to talk about it. Well, great. What are you going to do about it? You know, and when he does talk, the things that he says are obviously very highly scripted. Just words on a teleprompter or on a card for him to read. And he can't do that without slurring it. Did you see him the other day when he appeared, I guess, from Camp David, and it looked like he had been maybe falling down a flight of stairs? He had this cut all over his chin.
No, I missed that.
He just looked terrible, looked and sounded terrible, like somebody had just beat the hell out of him or something. But, you just don't have any confidence that the people at the top levels of government are doing their job.
My favorite moment yesterday was, you probably saw this. So, you know, we love here in St. Louis on my show, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, because he's a wordsmith, right?
Yeah.
We use the sound bites a lot. And he's in the open. So, Sue, did you see this yesterday? He's at the podium with the aforementioned FBI official who didn't seem to be very, very competent. And he basically just muscles her off the podium, basically says,
wow.
Okay, I need a little space here. And it was very symbolic as well, I think. Because
back to her, she was clearly outside of her depth, so to speak, not capable of performing at least the PR aspects of this incident. I don't have any reason to have an opinion about her law enforcement skills, but if they are anything like her public relations or communications skills, then the FBI down there is in big trouble.
All right, Phil Holloway. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you for helping us kind of get caught up on all these things. And are the Bulldogs going to win this afternoon?
They are, and you can count on it, and I'm going to come up there, and you can buy me a big steak when I'm right.
I think that I hope you are right. I don't like Notre Dame. No offense to my friends with the Irish, but I hope you're right. Thanks, Phil. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
All right, take care. We did have a lot of catching up from the officials today on both of these attacks, and I want to get to some of the audio. Sue, I don't know if you were dialed in even this morning or you heard the discussion about the bollards. Have you
I
heard
didn't.
That? So, you know, like if you're riding on the Grants Trail or somewhere like that, you may have a bollard that pops up preventing a vehicle from going on the trail. If they need to, you know, get to someone that's on the trail or do some, you know, work on it, well, then, of course, the bollard could come down. Well, apparently they have this infrastructure project that started over 10 years ago, which this is honestly, before I even heard about the bollard situation, it was the first thing I thought about. It was like, wait a second, because have you been to the French Quarter?
Yes.
Okay. It wouldn't be too tough to set up bollards to prevent cars from going
down
these streets.
You're right.
Right. So they have that plan, but they don't have it fully implemented right now because the due date was the Super Bowl, which is in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. So they're taking the old bollards and replacing them with removable stainless steel units along Bourbon Street and in some of the other areas around the French Quarter. But then you had Ann Kirkpatrick, who is the police superintendent. And, you know, it's always a little risky, I would say, assessing people from afar when it comes to the level of competence. And I'll give you an example. A real-life example would be John Fetterman. A lot of us kind of ganged up on John Fetterman. We were very confused. We didn't like the fact that, you know, he didn't seem to be able to communicate in the aftermath of his stroke. But I think a lot of us have appreciated what John Fetterman is all about. He's kind of a common-sense guy. I don't agree with him on everything, but we misjudge John Fetterman, right? There's a possibility that I'm misjudging these police officials. But going back to what Phil was saying, they did come off like the Keystone Cops. And this Ann Kirkpatrick, she's like the superintendent of police down there. And they start talking about, you know, the hard target. She's like, they drove onto the sidewalk and got around the hard target. And here's some of the conversation.
We were able to build in bollard replacement into our Super Bowl infrastructure package. The city of New Orleans has moved forward with that infrastructure that is nearing completion. Bollards were not up because they are near completion, with the expectation of being completed.
We knew that these were malfunction. So we did indeed have a plan, but the terrorist defeated it.
So that was Ann Kirkpatrick. The other one was the police chief. So she's basically saying that the technology failed and the terrorists beat us. That was an interesting comment. A lot of people kind of reacted to that. On the topic of hardening, you know, targets.
The terrorist is going to be hell-bent no matter what to create carnage and to destroy. But we as a city and as a law enforcement community have already proven over time that we can handle, manage these large crowds. We are using heavier equipment, and not just patrol cars. We'll use heavier equipment to harden the targets.
But again, the bollards were not fully, you know, functioning, and that was one of the issues. And I guess the due date for completion of the bollards was Super Bowl Sunday, not this week.
Yeah, I'm unclear whether the bollards were in place and malfunctioning or whether they haven't been installed yet in anticipation of the Super Bowl.
Maybe it's a combination, because the malfunctioning part doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No.
What is the malfunction? Because they can, I guess you would have, I guess there would be electricity used to raise and lower them if officials need to do that, right?
Right.
To get through.
Is that the deal? I don't know.
There's so many questions on this one, and you know, some of it doesn't at this point really make sense. Bourbon Street is back open though this afternoon. The Sugar Bowl is underway. Let's go to Las Vegas, because they discovered the name of the guy. Did you see this is fascinating too. You have a Cybertruck which is driving around the strip in Las Vegas, and you, because of the technology, they got cameras everywhere. They can very quickly piece this together. They see where he was at this point, then where he was. He circles back around.
Good.
He had come through the Trump, you know, valet point at least once, and then circled back there before the explosion. So now they know who this guy is.
Our subject is 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger. He's of Colorado Springs, Colorado, born July 22nd of 1987.
One of the things that's amazing about this is, if you look at the aftermath of this, first of all, the windows of the Trump Tower, they weren't blown out,
no.
Right? It was a pretty big explosion. The Cybertruck looks like it's, for the most part, put together. There wasn't a lot of damage to the exterior of the Cybertruck, but the interior obviously was blown up significantly. Here's what they said in Las Vegas today when it came to that topic.
The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken by that blast.
See, until he said that, I didn't realize
that. I hadn't
realized
that.
If you see the video of the blast, you'd be shocked that that happened. So here's something else that's interesting. I guess Elon is helping with this investigation.
So the question is, are we able to recover the video from the Cybertruck? And many of you may know that those Cybertrucks contain a tremendous number of cameras. Mr. Musk has sent out a number of his folks that will be arriving here this afternoon with the intent to try to capture the part of that captured all of the video from inside of
yes,
the truck.
So that's interesting. And again, the other angle that, you know, you're going to see a lot of buzz about this on the internet. I'm just going to tell people what's going on, because, you know, I don't want to act like there's nothing going on. And I don't know if it's true or not, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. However, people have raised, and this could be a legitimate point, that truck, that guy could have been dead in that truck long before the explosion, because it could have, used the self-driving function to go right up to the valet station. I don't know that that's the case. And I'm not even sure, because one of the things that that sheriff in Las Vegas made very clear, and you could see the images and the pictures around him, everything was charred. I mean, while the exterior of the Cybertruck was in pretty good shape, everything inside, including the guns that the guy had, were completely charred.
You know what I didn't realize is when he said they have cameras all in them and all over them, I didn't realize that. It'd be great if they could find some.
Well, and I don't think I realized that, and I don't think a lot of people did, and that's why the reporter asked that question. They're going to maybe see what they can recover when it comes to that technology as well. And then we got stuff going on with Speaker Johnson, and will he survive tomorrow? We'll get into that coming up next. I can't believe that it is almost Friday, which is good news. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We'll have plenty to talk about with Jane Duker, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and current State Senator Nick Schroer, all on the panel tomorrow. Paul Hall with some entertainment. The other thing I did over the break, Sue, is I watched a lot of movies.
Oh.
And I watched some good movies, too, that I will share with you probably tomorrow afternoon. Cusimano on sports, and we'll have Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. I also want to mention, before we get into some of the stuff about the terrorist attacks, that we lost an Odyssey employee down in New Orleans.
A 25-year-old
young man by the name of Billy DeMeo, who was an account executive, and he was down there at the French Quarter when all this nonsense happened. And let's kind of segue into that conversation with our friend Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst. Happy New Year, Phil. Not very happy, though, for a lot of families around this country. And by the way, I don't even know, like yesterday morning, I wasn't even dialed into the news. I had to find out from ESPN that this had happened when they started talking about the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's certainly not the kind of thing that you want to wake up to on the very first hours of what's, at least set to be potentially a particularly good year here in 2025. It's just really, really heartbreaking. And, it's been all politics for so long, and now we're back to terrorism on American soil. It's just absolutely disheartening.
So one of the things that I haven't talked about yet, because I went off in a different direction just catching up with the listeners during the monologue, but you got with the two situations, they say that there's no definitive connection in New Orleans and Las Vegas, but both found with, the Cybertruck bomber was found with a gunshot wound to his head, rented from Turo, just like in New Orleans, the same day as the New Orleans attack. This guy was a Green Beret military bomb expert, I think maybe a drone expert, and he used amateur explosives. So that doesn't make any sense. Some people are out there saying, look, this Tesla Cybertruck could have driven itself to the Trump Hotel. Maybe the guy shot himself before he even got there, or somebody else shot him. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's a lot of theories out there, Phil.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, really, to if you're seeking a conspiracy theory, there's plenty of angles to look at this. If we're going to just pretend that we're conspiracy theorists here for just a minute, one could say with respect to the Las Vegas incident that, maybe somebody is sending a message to maybe the incoming administration and say, look, we can take out your best warfighters, and we can do it at your hotel with your friend's self-driving truck, So, I mean, there's lots of different ways that you could spin this, but I think back to reality, we've got to sort of just let the investigators do their work. They need to objectively follow the evidence to whatever the truth is. And look, maybe it turns out there will be a connection. I don't know. Right now they're saying that there's not, but right now unfortunately we live in a time where the trust in our institutions of government, particularly the federal law enforcement side, is just not that high. And so people are skeptical, and the conspiracy theories are going to fly.
When I've already seen a lot of that just in reaction to some of the things that were said in New Orleans in particular by this FBI official down there and some of the other police, representatives, because there's been a perception, Phil, that they haven't had their you-know-what, their collective you-know-what together, and maybe that contributed to some of the problems here.
Yeah, it looks like the Keystone Cops kind of right out of the gate when the FBI public, I guess she was the special agent in charge or the number two in charge there. She comes out and she says, it's not terrorism. And that when she made that statement, they had already seen the ISIS flag. So why not just say it? you know, and it completely takes away from their credibility. And when you're out and you're trying to be sort of the public face of something as high profile as this, you've got to maintain your credibility with the public. You know, if you don't have that, then they're not going to trust you, and that's going to feed into the conspiracy theories. And you know, the other thing about it with the FBI, they seem pretty certain. Once they weren't certain, then they were like, okay, there's got to be other people involved. We're looking at two or three or four other people. And then 24 hours later, they're like, oh, never mind. It was just a lone wolf.
Yeah, so then you got both of these guys are now identified. Shamsuddin Jabbar, 42. He was the NOLA guy. He was an American citizen, also in the military. Matthew Livelsberg, I'm not sure exactly, Livelsberg on the, or Berger maybe on the Vegas side. He was a special forces soldier overseeing drones, maybe a bomb expert. So one of the questions I think that's come up in the last couple of days, Phil, and I don't think we're going to get an early answer to this, is how in the hell are these guys being radicalized, right? Especially if they're both in the military.
Well, you know, there's radical elements of this in all aspects of society. You find it oftentimes where you least expect it. You certainly don't expect it in the military, but I think this is a very ugly reminder that it is there. And this speaks to larger, perhaps more institutional problems in the United States military. There's a lot of things that need to change, you could say that this is something perhaps that's been brewing for quite some time, and it's not limited to the radicalization of these people, because the military has just lost its focus. It needs to be about war fighting and putting ordnance on target when needed, and instead it's become this, I don't know, like a It's a social experiment now that's being run almost directly out of the White House. And so there's a lot of dysfunction. This is obviously a very serious and very dangerous aspect of the dysfunction. And hopefully the new administration can make some changes.
But let's make sure that people are aware, Phil, what the real threat in this country is. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas made it very clear a couple of years ago.
What we in the Department of Homeland Security have assessed is that the greatest terrorism-related threat that we face in the homeland is the threat of domestic violent extremism.
Yeah, wait for it.
Individuals drawn to violence because of ideologies of hate or false narratives propagated on social media and other online platforms. And the most prominent threat is the threat of white supremacists.
Yeah, you kind of had to wait for the end there. I think most of what he said there, he might have gotten right, right? There's people that are being radicalized, but they wanted to prioritize in this administration. They did it several times. When that soundbite came out, I remember mocking it at the time, Phil. You probably did too, because it was so ludicrous.
I had actually forgotten about that, maybe purposely buried it in the back of my brain somewhere. But I'm glad you remembered it and shared it, because it does show that this current administration has been basically lost in the wilderness when it comes to, you know, protecting Americans from violence. And there's been such a focus on social issues and not a focus on things that matter to keeping the American people safe on a daily basis. And it's high time that some changes be made in the Department of Homeland Security and others that, point the tip of the spear, so to speak, where it needs to be pointed, and that is at the criminal element. And by the way, that also includes closing the border. Initially, there were some reports that turned out to be inaccurate, that maybe this guy in New Orleans had come across the border in the last couple of days. In the fog of the sort of the breaking news, you know, a lot of things have to get retracted and restated.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that ISIS and other radical elements have come across the southern border. And even if this guy didn't come across the southern border illegally, we know that radical terrorists have come across the border, and we know they are here. And if they are here, the question is why? Well, the answer to that is obvious. They are here because they want to harm us. So we have got to close the border, regardless of whether or not this particular set of instances had anything to do with the border. But we've got to get to that. That's got to be a main priority. And hopefully here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to start seeing the border closed.
You know, one of the things I thought about yesterday and today was, and I know that Biden made some statements today, but there was never a moment when I heard about both of these incidents that I thought, you know what, I want to hear what this president has to say, because we're going to feel a lot more confident about where we are when it comes to combating terrorism and, you know, the fight against our way of life when Joe Biden weighs in here. He's become so irrelevant. I wish they could move Inauguration Day up by about 18 days, Phil.
Well, and he's talking about, well, I'm going to assemble my national security team and we're going to talk about it. Well, great. What are you going to do about it? You know, and when he does talk, the things that he says are obviously very highly scripted. There's words on a teleprompter or on a card for him to read, and he can't do that without slurring it. Did you see him the other day when he appeared, I guess, from Camp David, and it looked like he had been maybe falling down a flight of stairs? He had this cut all over his chin.
No, I missed that.
He just looked terrible, looked and sounded terrible, like somebody had just beat the hell out of him or something. But, you just don't have any confidence that the people at the top levels of government are doing their job.
My favorite moment yesterday was, you probably saw this. So, you know, we love here in St. Louis on my show, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, because he's a wordsmith, right?
Yeah.
We use the sound bites a lot. He's in the open. So, Sue, did you see this yesterday? He's at the podium with the aforementioned FBI official who didn't seem to be very, very competent. And he basically just muscles her off the podium, basically says,
wow.
Okay, I need a little space here. It was very symbolic as well, I think. Because
back to her, she was clearly outside of her depth, so to speak, not capable of performing at least the PR aspects of this incident. I don't have any reason to have an opinion about her law enforcement skills, but if they are anything like her public relations or communications skills, then the FBI down there is in big trouble.
All right, Phil Holloway. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you for helping us kind of get caught up on all these things. And are the Bulldogs going to win this afternoon?
They are, and you can count on it, and I'm going to come up there, and you can buy me a big steak when I'm right.
I think I hope you are right. I don't like Notre Dame. No offense to my friends with the Irish, but I hope you're right. Thanks, Phil. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
All right, take care. We did have a lot of catching up from the officials today on both of these attacks, and I want to get to some of the audio. Sue, I don't know if you were dialed in even this morning, or you heard the discussion about the bollards. Have you heard that?
I didn't.
So, you know, like if you're riding on the Grants Trail or somewhere like that, you may have a bollard that pops up preventing a vehicle from going on the trail. If they need to, you know, get to someone that's on the trail or do some, you know, work on it, well, then, of course, the bollard could come down. Well, apparently they have this infrastructure project that started over 10 years ago, which this is honestly, before I even heard about the bollard situation, it was the first thing I thought about. It was like, wait a second, because have you been to the French Quarter?
Yes.
Okay. It wouldn't be too tough to set up bollards to prevent cars from going down these streets.
You're right.
Right. So they have that plan, but they don't have it fully implemented right now because the due date was the Super Bowl, which is in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. So they're taking the old bollards and replacing them with removable stainless steel units along Bourbon Street and in some of the other areas around the French Quarter. But then you had Ann Kirkpatrick, who is the police superintendent. And, you know, it's always a little risky, I would say, assessing people from afar when it comes to the level of competence. And I'll give you an example. A real-life example would be John Fetterman. A lot of us kind of ganged up on John Fetterman. We were very confused. We didn't like the fact that, you know, he didn't seem to be able to communicate in the aftermath of his stroke. But I think a lot of us have appreciated what John Fetterman is all about. He's kind of a common sense guy. I don't agree with him on everything, but we misjudge John Fetterman, right? There's a possibility that I'm misjudging these police officials. But going back to what Phil was saying, they did come off like the Keystone Cops. And this Ann Kirkpatrick, she's like the superintendent of police down there. And they start talking about, you know, the hard target. She's like, they drove onto the sidewalk and got around the hard target. And here's some of the conversation.
We were able to build in bollard replacement into our Super Bowl infrastructure package. The city of New Orleans has moved forward with that infrastructure. It's nearing completion. Bollards were not up because they are near completion, with the expectation of being completed.
We knew that these were malfunction. So we did indeed have a plan, but the terrorist defeated it.
So that was Anchor Patrick. The other one was the police chief. So she's basically saying that the technology failed and the terrorists beat us. That was an interesting comment. A lot of people kind of reacted to that. On the topic of hardening, you know, targets.
The terrorist is going to be hell-bent no matter what, to create carnage and to destroy. But we, as a city and as a law enforcement community, have already proven over time that we can handle, manage these large crowds. We are using heavier equipment, and not just patrol cars. We'll use heavier equipment to harden the targets.
But again, the bollards were not fully, you know, functioning, and that was one of the issues. And I guess the due date for completion of the bollards was Super Bowl Sunday, not this week.
Yeah, I'm unclear whether the bollards were in place and malfunctioning or whether they haven't been installed yet in anticipation of the Super Bowl.
Maybe it's a combination, because the malfunctioning part doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No.
What is the malfunction? Because they can, I guess you would have, I guess there would be electricity used to raise and lower them if officials need to do that, right?
Right.
To get through.
Is that the deal? I guess. I don't know.
There's so many questions on this one, and you know, some of it doesn't at this point really make sense. Bourbon Street is back open though this afternoon. The Sugar Bowl is underway. Let's go to Las Vegas, because they discovered the name of the guy. Did you see this is fascinating too. You have a Cybertruck which is driving around the strip in Las Vegas, and you, because of the technology, they got cameras everywhere, they can very quickly piece this together. They see where he was at this point, then where he was. He circles back around.
Good.
He had come through the Trump, you know, valet point at least once, and then circled back there before the explosion. So now they know who this guy is.
Our subject is 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger. He's of Colorado Springs, Colorado, born July 22nd of 1987.
One of the things that's amazing about this is, if you look at the aftermath of this, first of all, the windows of the Trump Tower, they weren't blown out,
no.
Right? It was a pretty big explosion. The Cybertruck looks like it's, for the most part, put together. There wasn't a lot of damage to the exterior of the Cybertruck, but the interior obviously was blown up significantly. Here's what they said in Las Vegas today when it came to that topic.
The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump hotel were not even broken by that blast.
See, until he said that, I didn't realize
that. I hadn't
that.
Realized
and
that.
If you see the video of the blast, you'd be shocked that that happened. So here's something else that's interesting. I guess Elon is helping with this investigation.
So the question is, are we able to recover the video from the Cybertruck? And many of you may know that those Cybertrucks contain a tremendous number of cameras. Musk has sent out a number of his folks that will be arriving here this afternoon with the intent to try to capture the part of that captured all of the video from inside of the truck.
So that's interesting. And again, the other angle that, you know, you're going to see a lot of buzz about this on the internet. I'm just going to tell people what's going on, because, you know, I don't want to act like there's nothing going on. And I don't know if it's true or not, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. However, people have raised, and this could be a legitimate point, that truck, that guy could have been dead in that truck long before the explosion, because it could have, used the self-driving function to go right up to the valet station. I don't know that that's the case. And I'm not even sure, because one of the things that that sheriff in Las Vegas made very clear, and you could see the images and the pictures around him, everything was charred. I mean, while the exterior of the Cybertruck was in pretty good shape, everything inside, including the guns that the guy had, were completely charred.
You know what I didn't realize is when he said they have cameras all in them and all over them, I didn't realize that. It'd be great if they could find some.
Well, and I don't think I realized that. I don't think a lot of people did, and that's why the reporter asked that question. They're going to maybe see what they can recover when it comes to that technology as well. And then we got stuff going on with Speaker Johnson, and will he survive tomorrow? We'll get into that coming up next.
Dependable traffic on 97.1 FM Talk.
We look good on the roads this afternoon with a couple of exceptions. On the Illinois side, northbound 255 jams headed for New Pogue Road, an incident over there. And there is a delay if you are eastbound on 64 There is an incident. I cannot get the Illinois cameras to work. But you could see a jam on 5564 just past Route 3. So from there all the way back across the bridge, it's a slow go. And we've got some slow-moving traffic, too, on Route 3 in both directions near Monsanto Avenue. On the Missouri side, some moderate volume through the construction zone on southbound 55 in the city, heaviest around Rivas Barracks, and then things open up and look fine to the south. And other than that, we're fine. Westbound 70, 64, 40, and 44 look good out of downtown. Southbound 270 is fine at 44. This report is brought to you by New Perspective Senior Living of Weldon Spring. I'm Sue Thomas. That's traffic on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, it's Mark Reardon for New Perspective Senior Living in Weldon Spring. This brand new facility offers state-of-the-art independent or assisted living and memory care and now has specials on select apartments. Visit npseniorliving.com or call to schedule a free lunch to experience senior living redefined for yourself.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Make sure your family is well taken care of with life insurance. Protect your phones, laptops, and more with electronic device insurance. And cover your furry friends with pet health insurance.
Well, I mentioned at the beginning of the show I had a garage door malfunction, and that sucks some of the money out of my account this weekend. That happens when you're a homeowner, and sometimes if you have a brick home, brick fireplace, the bricks start to fall off, and you need to repair them because then things get a lot worse from there. I have a perfect solution for you, and these are adult things that happen, so you got to call in experts and get things fixed. It's going to cost you a lot more in the long run. Morelli Tuck Pointing, the masonry specialist right here in St. Louis. John and Cindy Morelli, a great family-run operation since 1991. If you can hear my voice, they can help you. They got a big staff of longtime employees. And again, it's family run. Deanna, their daughter, works in the operation, her husband as well. They've been doing this for decades upon decades. And if you need help in this particular area, Fred Bottomer needed help with Morelli over the holidays, I remember. I don't know if that job has been completed, but I know he got a bid. Morelli, tuckpointing.com, 314-645-1387.
You've been listening to the very popular Wellness One for many years, Saturdays and Sundays on 97.1 FM Talk. We're happy to share that we've expanded the show to four times a week. Yes, four times every weekend. Saturday at 10 a.m., Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 9 a.m., and Sunday at 2 p.m. It's the same great show designed to cut through the nonsense and provide you a common sense, science-based strategy for a healthy life. So join TJ and Aaron for Wellness One. Now, four times a week on 97.1 FM Talk.
Why do the national tax resolution firms need the tiny fine print at the bottom of all their TV ads? Hi, this is Lance Drury with the Lance Drury Law Firm. You don't hear fast-talking disclaimers in our ads because the claims we make are 100% transparent. The Lance Drury Law Firm primarily focuses on one thing, IRS problems. And we're regulated by the Bar Association, and we have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. IRS issues are serious legal issues. The Lance Drury Law Firm has helped thousands of clients navigate the best resolution plans, and we tell you up front exactly how much it'll cost. Tax resolution law is all we do. So before you send money to some out-of-town, high-pressure salesperson, give us a call at the Lance Drury Law Firm. Located right here in St. Louis, call today to schedule your free consultation with me, 314-260-6120, or visit LanceDRURYLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
A 2024 survey by Navitus Health Solutions reported that 48% of Americans have been unable to fill a needed prescription at least once due to the cost. RX Outreach, an online nonprofit mail order pharmacy based in St. Louis, is committed to providing safe and affordable medications for everyone. They offer over 950 medicines for chronic illnesses and conditions and ship to all 50 states, regardless of insurance, without membership fees or copays. Contact RX Outreach at 314-222-0472 or visit rxoutreach.org.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Friday's the first day for the new Congress. We'll talk to Congressman Eric Burleson about the speaker's race at 7:35.
The Mark Cox Morning Show. Weekdays from 5 to 9. Right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon on St. Louis's home for conservative talk.
On the topic of the speaker's race, I reached out to Congressman Onder this afternoon, have not heard back, to see if Bob's going to support Mike Johnson. We're going to have a great chat, no doubt, with Dwayne Patterson, who writes at hotair.com. in the 5 o'clock hour. They're going to vote on the speaker's race tomorrow. He does have Trump's backing. I don't know what's going to happen here. This gets exhausting. And, you know, before we left for the holiday, there was all this stuff with the budget situation, extending the debt ceiling. And, you know, Mike Johnson was not coming out on the winning end of a lot of those things. And there was some confusion. But Trump has supported him. The notion, and I said this before I left, the notion that Trump and Mike Johnson were not communicating through all that is just a bunch of nonsense. And I think we discovered that in the last few days. So Johnson does have Trump's backing. He does not have everyone's backing. And Tom Massey of Kentucky is sort of the new Matt Gaetz of Congress. He's the one declared no vote. You have Paul Gosar from Arizona, who is a Freedom Caucus guy, who said he wasn't going to vote for Johnson. He's back in his camp. Again, Trump is supporting Mike Johnson. He has spoken. The breaking news this afternoon is that Trump spoke with Chip Roy. And that's interesting because Congressman Roy has had a pretty big role in the speaker selection process and hasn't always been supportive of the incumbent, if you will. So they're trying to work things out, and we're going to have much more on that tomorrow. Maybe we'll hear from, you know, Mark Cox is going to have Eric on tomorrow morning. I'll have hopefully Bob Onder on as well. Now, we're going to talk about this in the next hour. And for those of you who are like the Mark Reardon Show, you're just emerging from your holiday cocoon and you're not caught up on all of the news that's happening, this was something that happened in our own city just last night, just a few blocks from where I am right now. And this is down where Joe Buck's restaurant used to be, which is now the Wheelhouse. So it's not too far on Spruce from Busch Stadium, in between Enterprise Center and Busch Stadium, if you will. It would be to the east of Market Street. So this is 3 a.m. There was a video that was recorded on a cell phone by a bystander. I saw this story yesterday that cleared on STL Today about, you know, the headline, Sue, was off-duty cop,
yeah,
you know, shoots somebody. And I thought, you know, whenever I see that in the Post-Dispatch, my instinct immediately goes back to 2014 in Ferguson and them gaslighting and, you know, immediately blaming the cops or the off-duty cop. I don't know if we know exactly what happened here, the circumstances, but in the aftermath, we had a lot of confusion. So there was video that was recorded by a bystander that was released by this group, Citizens for a Greater Downtown, on social media. So it went very viral today. They're not identifying who took the, you know, the video. You see a lot of people that are milling around. There's two fights that break out. You have one fight if you're looking at the video to the left, one fight to the right. The person who is filming the video is sort of panning across, and one guy gets tackled to the ground. And the way that the story is described in the Post-Dispatch's accounting is an off-duty police officer appears to try to break up the fight, pushing one man away and pointing at the men to leave. The other thing that's a little difficult about this video is that you have people that have jackets on that say police,
yeah,
right? Or hoodies. And I'm not convinced that they're real police, that they might be just security for the restaurant.
Why wouldn't it say security, though?
I don't know, because that's here's what I'll tell you. The only reason I can in any way, shape, or form relate to this is that I have a friend years ago created a St. Louis County Police biking jersey. And you know how many times we had trouble from riders when you had a jersey on that said St. Louis County Police? Didn't ever happen. So maybe it's just telling the crowd, hey, we're in positions of authority. I don't really know.
Interesting.
But when the shooting happened, because the video pans in the other direction, you hear a couple of shots, then you see where the officer was, and people start reacting. Now, I can play you some of the audio of this, because it's essentially, at first, it's more just like confusion that breaks out. You got a bunch of people saying, oh, and there's profanity, and just a lot of confusion. A couple of people who are just laughing about what happened, even in the aftermath of the shots. So then the shots kind of go off.
Oh, shit.
There you go. There's the shots. And then there's more. But he pretty much unloads. And then the camera, and I don't know who's taking, we don't know who's taking the video, but there's a guy that is then featured in the last part of this video, and he's pepper sprayed.
Tell my mama I'll pack you out, bro. Quit playing with me.
Hey, get down.
Quit playing with me, bro. Stop saying
you're good.
The guy can't see. You hear him say that.
My brother out there fighting, I can't see.
What happened?
My brother out there fighting.
Why can't you see?
They pepper spray me.
Hey, it's going to go away.
So the guy's telling him it's going to go away. And, you know, but he said that his brother was in the fight. So look, the bottom line is a lot of questions about this, not a lot of answers. Jane will weigh in after Sue's news. It's all coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.